the Maple Leafs minor league situation isn't what it was, obviously, a couple of years ago when they're finishing 31st in the National Hockey League, and they got a bunch of guys that are primed for the NHL. They're all in the National Hockey League, or, you know, back when the National Hockey League was playing games. But the guy we're going to be talking to in a couple of seconds is the prize jewel, and he's the guy, JD. And you don't often do this in the NHL where you're like every day you're looking at what happened in the Pete's game. Did this guy score, played 40-some-odd games, and led the Ontario Hockey League in goals? Talking about Nick Robertson, he broke his finger. Like, this is a guy that went from a second-round picker. You're like, oh, there's some upside there, to what could this guy be, and could he be in the National Hockey League as soon as next season?
It's a pretty rare occasion where a high-end Leafs draft pick ends up forcing you to pay attention. Like, he scored 55 goals in 46 games this year. And I don't care what league you play in, if that's outside of, I'll say, Pee Wee, maybe Adams, that's pretty damn good. And so, yep. Yeah, there's in a season that's been really noisy for the Leafs, a season where it was a lot of ups and downs and the highest of highs and the lowest of lows and conversations around the team. It was a lot of Rasmus Sandin, but then once Rasmus Sandin gets called up, the focus changes, man, and this is the way that it works. And I'm curious to talk to our next guest about it. It's Nick Robertson, Pete's forward and Leafs top prospect. What's up, buddy?
Well, thank you.
How you doing in California, man? Like, what's it like there right now? You're just inside?
It's good. I mean, I'm home. Really, so I mean, the weather's nice, that's good. So but it's good to be back with family because I haven't seen them since around August time.
Yeah, that's all right. Like, yeah, getting to be home, no more just like billet life. You actually get to, yeah, live with family members. It's weird though, dude. There's not too many California kids in the NHL. Like, I don't know if you know this, but Austin Matthews leads California born players in points already, and he's an Arizona guy, clearly. Like, he's an Arizona guy. You guys do not get to claim him. And then all of a sudden, Leafs had Trevor Moore, and now they've got you and your brother. And it really feels like there's this movement happening with California-born players.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, when I was younger, California wasn't really a hot spot for hockey. But as it progressed, even to now, even when I moved from California, Michigan about 10 years ago, it's just progressed since then. I mean, you know, you got guys being drafted from California that, like, who played with me on the U.S. World Junior team, like Ryan Johnson, York, Wolf, like guys like that, future NHL guys that are from California, and myself. So it's definitely growing here. I mean, the coaches here, you know, they're not from California. They're all from, you know, Russia or Canada or somewhere else. They all played pro, and then they just happened to find themselves in California, and it's definitely helped me and molded me into the player I am, for sure.
Dude, if you ever play for Team USA and it turns out that Canadian coaches groomed you and Austin Matthews and a bunch of guys in the States, it's going to be choked. They're not going to reopen the borders. Like, it's just going to stay that way. You better hope you guys make your own coaches, because Team USA is starting to look scarier and scarier. And yeah, dude, man, that's awesome. I just wonder if you have any idea as to why that is. Like, were you inspired by some of the California-based teams? Because we have debates sometimes up in Canada about, you know, the purpose of having so many NHL teams and whether or not it's actually worked to have expansion and teams in all kinds of different markets. What was your favorite team growing up, and who was your guy?
I mean, obviously the Kings, when I lived here, my team. My dad had season tickets for a little bit, especially when all three of the teams expanded here, the Ducks, Kings, and Sharks. My dad had tickets to all of them. He would go to the games, and but I think it just grew on to me. Just my brothers were a big fan, and I just got onto there. And I would say my team was the Kings, but my player was Crosby. My agent, Pat Brisson, he represented him at the time, and I was playing with this kid, and I was about like 7 years old, and then I was asked about him, and you know, he showed me him like on clips or something one day, and I said, I like that guy. And ever since then, I just befalled that guy.
Yeah, it's awesome what you've done. It's awesome what your brother's done. Going back to your draft, so you were picked 53rd overall by the Leafs, and a couple of picks earlier, three picks earlier, the Kings, they made a pick. Like, was there a thought in your mind? Man, this is kind of around the zone that I was expecting to go. This could actually happen. I could end up with my favorite team growing up.
Yeah, I mean, they had a couple picks in the second round, and you know, I would have thought they would have considered an LA boy. But it's funny, I actually know I was being interviewed by them, and I knew every single person there because I played with their kid. Or that I skated with them. They were running me. They were giving me a lesson on the ice. But when they came up there, I was thinking about it. And when they didn't, it didn't really bother me that much. And when Toronto came up and they picked me, that was ideal. I mean, I wanted to go to Toronto really bad. You know, being their first pick was huge. And it was just a great organization to go to. And, I mean, they've developed me really well so far.
Yeah, I think Leaf fans are pretty happy that the Kings made a screw up there with a guy in their backyard. Yeah, big mistake. I think the Kings will look back on that with a little bit of regret. So yeah, your brother, as mentioned, NHLer with the Dallas Stars, made his debut in Toronto, ends up getting a point. You guys are back together now in California. How much of his season has he shared with you, things that he's learned? Like, has he helped demystify the National Hockey League for you?
I mean, yeah, I mean, he didn't really put it in any more complicated words, but it's like, it's so cool. Like, I mean, he's honestly speechless when he was talking about it. He just said, you have to be here. You have to experience it yourself. And I mean, that's my goal. So, yeah, he definitely loved that experience. And especially in Toronto, I mean, in Toronto and you're playing against the guys on Toronto, it's, you know, one of the top first games you can have. So, and for him to get a point that game, too, was pretty exciting. I mean, unfortunately, I couldn't be there. But I remember after a game, I'd just go on my phone. I was just losing it because I was so excited for him.
Yeah, if your family members do well, you feel like you're doing well. And if your brother wants you to be there, you're pulling your weight. Because as I was saying, coming into this segment, you scored 55 goals in 46 games. And yeah, man, like, I don't know if you know this, but that's really good. That's really impressive. I do wonder though where you started to feel like there were a lot of eyeballs on you, because this is what happens, man. Toronto loves, even if the team is going well, they always love the next one. They always want to know what's going on with the prospect rankings. They always want to know what's going on with players. Have you started to feel that a little bit? Just the fact that, yeah, there's more attention for a Leafs prospect than guys on some other teams who might also be having really good seasons.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's not just obviously me who's having a great year. I mean, there are other guys who got drafted that are having a great year. But, I mean, I wouldn't mind being in the spotlight of Toronto. And, I mean, the OHL and one of the favorite teams in the Ontario for the NHL is Toronto. So, but, yeah, I mean, I think it really kind of kicked off when I went to the World Junior Summer Showcase. Like after the draft, I just thought, okay, that was just the draft. And once I did well at the showcase, I think it just went from there. I didn't realize like that people were paying attention to me in the summer. Like they got better things to do. But I think it carried on to me signing. And then after that, it just kind of blew up from there. I mean, once I started playing well, and especially SDA, Sam is on my team as well. So, You know, you got two Leafs prospects on there. It's hard not to keep up with them. And but, yeah, I think, again, and when I went to World Junior, it just blew up there too. So, I mean, I love the attention for sure. But, you know, sometimes, you know, it's, you know, you see on Twitter, there's the odd comment saying this about you and all the positive, but then one's not good. I mean, you got to, even for people who are saying stay away from social media, now that came clear to me, I can only imagine what it is for actually playing for your Leafs. But as a prospect, it's more positive than negative, but you know, you still should try to stay away from that stuff.
Yeah, it's hard though, because even when you get a ton of positive stuff on social, if you see negative things, it always rises to the top and sticks out for whatever primitive reason our brains did that. And yeah, I'm definitely going to save that clip of you saying I like you don't mind the attention, because yeah, when you get up here with the Leafs and it's going to be a completely different situation and you'd have to deal with maybe an up and down season like this one, like, we'll play that back to you. Be like, this is what you wanted, man. This is what you said that you were down for. And you mentioned your teammate is SDA, right? And so that adds a little bit of extra attention. I want to play a game where we all say his full name and see who says it the best.
Yeah.
Do you want all me right. to go first? I'll go first. So yeah, everyone calls him SDA because I think when we first saw the Leafs drafted him, it was like, yeah, I'm not saying that because that's just too hard. I'm
it
not
looks intimidating.
Myself. Yeah,
I think
it
it's
is.
Easy though.
I think I have it. Okay, so I'll go first and I'll put myself out there. Semyon Dare Arguchinsev.
Yeah, that's it, right? That's
you,
not that difficult.
Say it, Benny.
Yeah.
So you say it, then we'll let Nick do it because he knows him.
So I would have said, okay, Semyon Dare Arguchinsev. What do you think, Nick?
Yeah, Semyon Dare Arguchinsev.
Oh, you say it real fast,
yeah,
you, though.
Yeah, it just rolls off like, your tongue. You're like, what did he say?
No, yeah, we just sounded... We just sounded like dudes who go on vacation and don't know the language, who think they know French. They're like, bonjour, je m'appelle. And then you hear French people speak, and you're just so embarrassed that you even tried. That's what just happened. That's what you just did to us.
Yeah, I mean, I hang around the guy every day. So, I mean, there's so many people I've been with him that screwed up his name. It's so funny, but that's why I just called Samer SDA.
Yeah, is there
SDA,
any coach that doesn't works. Call him SDA? Like, I feel like every coach is like, yeah, I'm not trying. It's just SDA.
Yeah, I mean, no one really called him SDA until we got to, until I got to Toronto. I mean, it's funny, when we went to Toronto, they just changed their nicknames. It was like, I used to call Sam, and they call him SDA. And for me, I'm Robbie, and they call me Robo when I got there.
Robo?
No.
So you don't like Robo?
No, I don't mind it. I like it because that's what they called me in L.A. So, whatever they want. I don't care.
All right. You mentioned you like the attentions. No big deal to you, I'm sure. Like, you can't walk outside in Peterborough. You were in the arena for the David Ayers game against the Carolina Hurricanes. And the Leafs got some attention after that. Nick, what were you thinking watching that situation play out in front of you?
We had 2 days off, and I was like, I invited a few buddies from Windsor to come up and watch me. And I mean, I don't know. It was entertaining, but it was crazy. I mean, that was the craziest game I've ever been a part of. You know, I saw the goalie get injured, and then I saw Mrazek get injured, and I'm just like, if they're a goalie. And then I saw that was like... Like, I work for the Marlies or something like that, at least I'm not really sure. And, I mean, like Kyle said, they're in a lost situation regardless, because if they won, they put in an emergency goalie that the guy worked for the Leafs. And, I mean, it was a rough one for sure. I mean, you can definitely feel, I mean, I was hearing it from the fans. It was, all night, but, I mean, it's definitely not really a good night for them, but that's all I can say.
Yeah. Your season was so good, as we keep alluding to. 55 goals. It's stupid good. What is, like, where are you at as far as getting your game to that National Hockey League level, that next level? Like, what are the things that you're working on in the off season?
Yeah, like, even right now, I'm just trying to, pack on a little weight. I mean, not significant, but I need to get a little thicker and a little stronger and faster. I think that's obviously the cliche, but for me, I think I have the tools, guarding the skill and the passing, the shooting, and everything like that. But I think I need to get a little bit faster, stronger, and bigger to withstand those, big defensemen in the corners, and not only just to take a hit, but just to be, still elusive, but, balanced on my feet. And that's definitely something I'm working on right now, just for my nutrition and just my, limited workouts in my garage, but I'm definitely getting better for sure. So that's what I'm working on now. And, once I go to dev camp, learn a little more things that I need to work on and capitalize that as going into training camp.
Athletes just like us, like, you're at home trying to put on some weight, trying to just, get a little heavier, get a little bit bigger. Us in our homes, quarantined, also getting bigger, also
not
just
trying,
like piling on the pounds.
Intention matters, man. Here.
Oh, enjoy this time, man. Enjoy this time of your life where just eating food and working out, and you're like, yeah, and I'm frustrated because I'm not adding weight. Like, it'll come. It'll come, buddy. And it's going to come fast. It sucks.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Congrats on the incredible season, Nick. Good luck going forward. And, man, maybe we'll see you, maybe even opening day in the NHL next season. So we appreciate the time. Thanks for this, Nick.
Thank you. Take care. Be safe.
Yeah, you too.
You too, man.
Nick Robertson, Peterborough Pete's forward, Leafs top prospect. He scored many goals in few games. He's quite good. I think he's got the OHL figured out. Like, I think that level might be behind him at this moment. He also he was a point-of-game player in the World Juniors, scored in the Boxing Day game, Canada-USA. I would say Nick Robertson's going to look back on this year as one that he enjoyed immensely.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like pretty lofty expectations to have him break camp next year. But
for sure.
Yeah, if he... This is always the time where, yeah, what do you do with your body? How much can you do with your body? How strong can you get? It's been a challenge for a smaller guy like Jeremy Bracco to get in that kind of physical condition where he was a viable candidate for the Leafs call-up. I think it hurt him this year. I'm not saying that he's the same guy, but yeah, he's a smaller dude. He's got a small frame. He plays hard. He's been compared to players in terms of a different type of attitude. You wouldn't really think that from where he's from, being a California guy, that it would be a little bit more of a laid-back style. But no, his playing style is very much a, this guy goes hard into the corners, this guy plays hard, he plays with some ferocity. So you would anticipate he plays bigger than his size, which is exciting. But yeah, man, it's gonna take a lot of work on the body to get up to an NHL level at this point, like with that size and that weight. I'm excited for him. It's great that he's ripping it up at this level. It's great that the Leafs have a guy that they nailed like this in the second round and that they can actually have at the very top end of their talent rankings because, yeah, more than ever with this team, and we don't know where the salary cap's going to go after all of this and what's going to happen, but they're really going to need to supplement their top-end talent with guys who can give them top six, top 9 minutes over the next couple of years, right? Like, it's going to be paramount that was the big conversation we had about Rasmus Sandin was, hey, do you really burn a season of Rasmus Sandin's entry-level contract when it's still going to be super important for you the next couple of seasons as guys get paid and you're a capped-out team to have that? And so it reminds me, again, of NFL quarterbacks where you can get them on those rookie deals and it just gives you such a big advantage in the NFL. And I think that you're starting to see that more and more and more in hockey. Nothing compares quite to a quarterback in terms of level of importance. But for a capped-out team who desperately needs depth, who desperately needs secondary scoring down the lineup, yeah, you are going to be looking to the Nick Robertsons of the world and saying, this is one of the big puzzle pieces.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that could play top six forward minutes. I mean, ideally, that's what you're looking at here for a guy with that kind of offensive skill set on an entry-level deal. Nobody seemingly in the National Hockey League needs that more than the Toronto Maple Leafs, considering the price tag attached to those top four forwards. And Nick Robertson's, I mean, given us every indication that that he could be a guy that plays at an elite level in the National Hockey League. Yeah, who knows if it's as early as next season, but can't imagine it's too far down the line. When the Leafs are putting their timeline together for him, I'm sure they haven't ruled it out. He hasn't even played. He was at camp, obviously, this year for the Leafs. He didn't play in an exhibition game, so that's definitely the next step. Like, he's going to play in an exhibition game, if there are some, next year, and we'll see how he looks against guys that are much bigger than him. We'll see if he's put on the weight, but if he impresses in camp, I mean, who's to say that he's not a guy that accelerates the timeline, considering what he's done?